From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
This is Open Journal on KPFT, Houston's community station. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Kim Perry is the Food Access Director with Urban Harvest. Prior to that, she was County Extension Agent for Prairie View University within Texas A&M's AgriLife Extension System. Kim hails from Denver, Colorado, where she studied social work with an emphasis on child welfare and the law. She received her master's degree in agricultural science from Texas A&M, Kingsville. In 2009, Kim co-founded and operated Healthy Habits Produce Co-op that grew from 2 to over 300 families. For the past 6 years, Kim has been a Harris County Master Gardener and was awarded their Outstanding Service Award in 2020. Gabriel Borja serves as Urban Harvest's Mobile Market Manager. He is a garden educator, permaculturalist, and chicken wrangler. Kim Perry, Gabe Borja, welcome to Open Journal.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you both on. Go ahead, Duane.
I was going to start off, Kim, by asking if you could just give an overview of Urban Harvest so we can dive into your particular areas of expertise and specialty. But for those who might not be aware of Urban Harvest or maybe have only heard of it, maybe they went to a fruit tree sale one winter, or maybe they stopped in at a farmer's market somewhere and saw it. What's the overview for folks?
Sure. So Urban Harvest is a great nonprofit organization. It's been around for 26 years. We have the largest farmers market in Houston, Texas on Saturdays. We offer lots of garden education classes, and we are within the Food Access Department, one of the newest branches of Urban Harvest.
I'll also throw in, we also maintain a network of affiliate community gardens around town. So it kind of hovers around 140 gardens all over Houston that we help support.
A lot of gardening. So for you both, as we look at a city urban experience, what brought you both to Urban Harvest and exactly how did you grow to experience and enjoy gardening in the city? We'll start with Kim.
What brought me to Urban Harvest was I actually wanted to see true change within the communities that I serve. I wanted to make a difference, and I wanted to be a part of something where you can kind of teach a man to fish sort of deal, and he can eat forever.
Yeah.
That was my overall arching goal, is to be a part of something bigger where I can actually see some change for the betterment of the community.
That's excellent. And for you, Gabe?
Yeah, you know, it's almost a miracle that I ended up being a gardener. When I was a kid, I absolutely hated gardening. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was too hard. And I didn't understand why we had to do it. But fast forward to college, I studied political science and environmental studies. So I spent a lot of time contemplating, you know, climate change, sustainability, and what it is, what are the best practices, in order, you know, how to live and how to operate through life in a way that serves the planet. So out of college, I kind of fell into this world, fell into, you know, garden design, teaching kids how to garden, all that kind of thing, just as my own personal practice in connecting with and serving nature.
That is very nice.
What exactly does a food access director do? Are you the one who has the key to the kitchen?
Oh, yeah. Well, I asked for that, but they said not right away. So as food access director, there are two programs that I work directly with. That first one is the community gardens piece. And as Gabe was mentioning with that, that is kind of connecting with the 140 plus affiliate gardens throughout Harris County. And when I say affiliate gardens, that means we help them with gardening education, and we also distribute tomatoes and pepper plants, help to organize volunteers around those gardens to get them cleaned up and better serve the community. So that's one component, which is the community gardens. The other component is the mobile market. And that is, that's my baby. I love that piece with Urban Harvest. So that one is, people always talk about food desert.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the solution for the food desert? And it's kind of simple. It's not as complicated as building a big grocery store. We have a refrigerated truck. We hook up with the local farmers to purchase produce, and then we take that fresh local produce to underserved communities and resell that produce. And that's our mobile market piece.
Mm-hmm. So a food desert then would be those underserved areas where the only thing close to like a grocery store might be a dollar store or something like that. I'm thinking, and maybe you could help point out certain zones of Houston, the Houston area, that might be more prolifically desertified. I'm thinking of the east side. I can think of like a Kroger, and maybe further out the Ship Channel area, a Fiesta. And then I happen to live in a mecca of not just homes with gardens like my backyard, but I think there's five Kroger stores within 3 miles of me, and two Whole Foods stores, and three HEBs, and and more than that. And it's sad to know that there are whole quadrants of town where there's a dearth of access at all, and that people... Indeed, I know people who shop for produce at a dollar store.
Yeah, Duane, so the technical definition of a food desert, per the USDA, it's a certain population threshold where folks are living below 200% of the poverty line. That's one. And then two, there isn't a grocery store. I think it's, there are different levels, but it's around a mile away from distance to a grocery store. So if your neighborhood falls, is a yes in both of those categories, you're considered a food desert by USDA. And it's kind of a force multiplier, right? You ask people with already limited resources, you know, they don't have a huge budget for food every month. They especially don't have a huge budget for fresh local food every month. And then you tell them, oh yeah, also the nearest grocery store is what, 20 minutes away, maybe even 45 minutes to an hour if you don't have a car, if you have to take the bus. So it's, you know, it's just this compounding of factors that makes it incredibly difficult for certain folks in our communities to eat well, even just the basics. Fresh produce, not too much meat, certainly not a lot of junk food. If there are more fast food places in your neighborhood than grocery stores, you probably are in a food desert.
Wow. You're tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM. We thank you for joining us. We're having a conversation with Kim Perry and Gabe Borja of Urban Harvest, and we thank you for your support and for tuning in. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. So, Gabe, as you have explained some information about where we are, which is what I think it's about your own relationship to self. So if that's your community and that's your circle, it's not until you visit someone else or you live in another space that you really understand the difference. And most people who are in situations don't know that they're in it that bad, right? It's a juxtaposition that makes it noticeable. So other ways in which we're trying to sort of understand vocabulary, what exactly is, and can you share some information on permaculture?
Oh, yeah. I would love to explain permaculture. Gosh, how long do we have? So permaculture stands for permanent agriculture. Mm-hmm. And the idea is at least in my mind, the idea of it is like sustainability plus. It's not just how do we operate now in a way that doesn't hurt the planet? Because if you think about that too much, that's a little crazy. Like, we've already hurt the planet so much, we need to be like reversing, like we need to be undoing, not just sustaining, air quotes. So permaculture is, how do we meet our own needs? How do we take care of ourselves, take care of our family and our communities, but also how do we multiply abundance in every sense of the word for future generations? So kind of radical thinking, pretty out there. But if anybody's interested, I'd highly recommend you just fall down that rabbit hole and come out the other side. Come out the other side with some pretty fun ideas.
Hilarious. But it's going to take radical change. I mean, even as we're coming out of COVID and seeing, not only did that experience happen in order to shift how we're thinking, it had to happen for so long for many people to say, I need to really rethink, you know, how I'm living, what I'm living, how I'm engaging, how I'm commuting. So it does take some radical thought to change.
One of the, I don't know, it's been kind of inspiring to see it for me is people's new or renewed interest in gardening through all of this. Because I think we all remember, you know, last March when the grocery stores were just insane. Like, they were out of everything, and you were scared for your life to go into them. And yeah, I think it, if anybody missed the message that our whole food network, our food economy is incredibly fragile and incredibly easy to disrupt. If you missed that message, I don't know where you were other than hiding on your couch, ordering out. Uber. Yeah, maybe. But it's an important lesson, and it's really inspiring to see all these people who are interested in gardening now and interested in becoming more resilient, putting themselves in a position where when things like this happen again, maybe they'll already have their garden planted. They won't need to race out to the grocery store and fight their neighbors for food and water. Just a thought.
Kind of throwing it out there, Gabe.
So, pressure. Gabe, your gig at Urban Harvest is the mobile market manager. Mobility is a big issue in Houston. We're always debating how mobility works or should work. So as the manager of a mobile market, you're actually tasked with taking a market to those parts of our greater Houston community who otherwise wouldn't have access. What exactly is that process like? I mean, do you have like this little... I'm thinking of like a bookmobile, but you're like the Urban Harvest mobile, and you drive into the neighborhood and folks come out, oh, Gabe's here.
We actually got some advice from the library's bookmobile people when we were shopping for the van. So that's a pretty good comparison. Basically the mobile market, for anybody who goes to just the big market that we have on Buffalo Speedway, just imagine a single vendor's market stall, but on a van. And so instead of people coming to us at a big farmer's market, I drive the van out into areas of town that we recognized could need it and might be interested in it and could benefit from it. We partner with a lot of clinics, community partners. We're at a apartment complex in North Houston once a month, and we pop up, we run a market stand. We sell produce, meat, eggs, milk, pecans, honey, all your kind of major staples to, you know, have a healthy diet that is simple and easy to access.
It's so amazing. We're so conditioned for it to be complicated. It's like, we grow it and you can eat it.
That's right.
So Kim, as we as you individually and in leadership look back to what we've made it through and look forward to all of this mind shifting and opportunity, what is the most exciting thing as you look ahead into spring or summer of 2021 or even beyond that?
Okay, so I will just be completely honest. One of the things I'm looking the most forward to is to find this sponsor out there somewhere in Houston
I say, yeah, I want to support the mobile market and purchase the produce for these communities supplementally in some way. So ultimately, that is what I'm looking forward to. I kind of want to tag on a little bit as to what Gabe was saying with the staples that we have on the van. So all the items that we have, the produce we sell, that is at cost. So whatever we purchase from the farmers, if it's $1.50, if it's 50 cents, we're selling that at $1.50 or at 50 cents to make sure that it's actually affordable within the communities that we serve.
Mm-hmm. I'll also say, too, we accept SNAP, EBT, used to be called food stamps. So anybody with that benefit can come out to the mobile market, also to our big market and all of our partners around town. They can bring their Lone Star card, shop with that. And every dollar off their card that they use, we're going to give them a free dollar of local produce. So we can double your money. Yep. Yep.
That is excellent.
Super exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that's what you call your double up program. That's a nice way to leverage getting good things to people and then giving them good bonus on top of that.
Wow. So for those who want the extra bonus, not just of getting, but of giving, does Urban Harvest not only have training, but do you have volunteer opportunities or a place for the budding gardener?
Oh, yeah. You said the magic word, volunteers. We love our volunteers, right? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, every good community garden needs volunteers. They can visit our website, send us a little email, and we can sign them up for a community garden in their area.
That's excellent. And your website address?
That is www.urbanharvest.org.
I was curious, Kim, in our intro, Stephanie shared that you have a background in Denver, Colorado, in social work and child welfare, and yet you're in Houston as the food access director at Urban Harvest. And in between, you were a part Aggie in agriculture, and I was just wondering what is it in your life that took you down the mountains to Texas A&M Kingsville that eventuated in you being here now with us?
I guess I'll just be honest with you, Duane, and hopefully my mom's not listening, but my mom never cooked. So we had every cereal box known to man on the top of our refrigerator growing up. And my husband's an East Texas boy, and his mom always cooked. And the first time I tasted fresh asparagus, fresh green beans, mind you, this is a girl from Colorado. We were, you know, we weren't wealthy. And so when I tasted what actual produce should taste like, I was hooked. So that kind of steered me into the direction of agriculture and social work. You know, after so long, you just get tired of crying, and I got tired of crying. So I wanted to smile.
Well, it's good to see you smiling. And Gabe, back to your intro as well. I am a city boy, you know, Jersey City, West Coast, East Coast, South Coast, lived in Houston for longer than you've been breathing. I just want to know, how does one wrangle a chicken?
Oh, you know, I'm pretty lucky. My chickens are super well behaved. What I've seen actually online is the trick is you don't look at the chicken because it can read your thoughts. So you have to know where it is, like in your peripheral, and snatch it. That's how you get a hold of a chicken. My chickens, they know when I come around, I have my kitchen scraps for them, and so they follow me anywhere I go. It's hardly any wrangling, really.
You nice. Outwitted the chicken.
Okay. good tip.
I should go in with you. So could you tell us how does the chicken cross the road? But I'm sure you get that one all the He just follows all the scraps.
So again, folks can look for the, how can they track this pop-up market? Is that all also through urbanharvest.org? They can find out where Gabe is going to be popping up and what other things might be happening in addition to all the goings on with community gardens and with the weekly farmers markets, etc.
Yeah, definitely take a look at our website. I would also say track us on Facebook and on Instagram. They actually gave me the password to our Twitter account, so I'm on Twitter if you follow that. The social media though is good, up-to-date market information, you know, because they're always changing, we're always adding markets. So
we fantastic. Have four mobile markets as well, and if you can't seem to find them online, just give Gabe a call.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, he'll let you know exactly where to go.
That's excellent.
That is fantastic. Well, Kim Perry, Gabe Borja, thank you so much for what you do with Urban Harvest, and thanks for spending time with us on Open Journal. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Super fun.
It is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. We thank you for tuning in and joining us. We thank you for supporting this independent community station. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. This program and previous programs can be found through the archive at kpft.org. And please subscribe to our podcast, KPFT OJ. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music by Kevin McLeod. Join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. And thank you for your continued support.
And as always, we like to leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. This comes to us from Mother Teresa, who said, "I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that, but now I pray that He'll guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things." Take care of each other. Peace.